Well, good morning. Again, it's a beautiful day out. It's another Sunday of being sheltered in, of course, and the message is coming by way of the website. And I appreciate you listening and the good positive feedback for some of those that have sent me messages after hearing it these last few weeks. It is a little different when you're in the sanctuary looking out and you see chairs. So I've got to look in the spirit to see the bodies here. Amen. But I know you're there at the house somewhere at the kitchen table or in the living room or whatever. And praise God. We're bringing a message, I trust, that is of hope, encouragement, and to help us all. Not just during this time, but these are messages to help us. Even if you were here at the church, attending in the body, hallelujah, but you're not. So today I want to share out of Isaiah, and the message, the title, what it might be, would be that of arise and let the light shine, amen? Arise and let the light shine. And the message comes forth out of Isaiah. Let me just read it here quickly in the beginning, and then we'll open in prayer. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, and it says this, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Hallelujah. Let us pray. I can't wait to get into what I believe the Lord is showing and just encouraging me with this. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, I am coming with great expectations because you are a great God. And I just praise you and I thank you right now for this message in your word. I thank you, Lord, for putting it up on my heart this past week. And you and me have been together reading it and thinking about it, Lord. And so I just pray by that of the Holy Spirit would speak through me and that the things that are said, Lord, are what you would want shared with your people of today. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for blessing this message now. I pray that we open our spiritual ears, our spiritual hearts, and that we're able to take in your word this day. And all the glory goes to you, Father. Amen. How about that? Amen. Say amen with me. Amen. Glory. The most important part of God's word and sharing God's word is that you out there get something out of it. It's not just to read words on a page. It's to put it into your spirit. It's to build you up and it's to get you going. Amen. How many here, we just need to get going? I find myself that I've got to just get going. And so how can you not when you begin to look at God's word? So again, this morning we're looking at arise, shine. I thought of that, and when I said that one time, this first part of this last week back, I said, arise, shine, for the light has come, when I was talking to someone. And as you know, I've been doing a lot of phone calls, and that's about the only way that I could have contact with you out there, if it's not by the video time on Tuesdays for prayer. But a lot of it's just throughout the week calling you and just visiting with you by phone. But one individual I'd called, and when they answered, I said, arise and shine, for the light has come. Hallelujah. And thus, here we are a week later, that next Sunday, when I believe God has put this through me and just continue to think about this and meditate on it or marinate on it. Okay, amen. Hallelujah. But this came about. So I guess for our first song, if you want to join with me, but this is the chorus that came about that arise, shine. It comes out of Isaiah, but it says, arise, shine, for the light is come. Arise, shine, for the light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen. Hallelujah. My goodness, the glory of the Lord. He's risen upon us today, church. He's risen upon you today, right where you're at. Thank you, Father. So that was one of the first songs. That the chorus came out when I first started by saying that, arise, shine. And then as the week went on, I thought how important it is for us to rise and shine for the glory of the Lord. And we're going to get into that. I trust you're going to enjoy the message today. And even if you don't enjoy it, just listen to it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just listen to it. But I believe it'll touch your spirit. I pray that earnestly and honestly with that of God. But the next chorus that kind of came out of it, I was thinking about how many times we just have heavy hands, heavy bands on us. And this chorus goes way back a ways. And it's the praise the Lord. And it goes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Now here it comes. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Amen. We've got to be doing that every day. Praising the Lord. Amen. And shake off. You might want to do that right now where you're at. Just take your hands and just shake off those bands. Lift up those holy hands. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's kind of like how I kind of go through this for this week and thinking about this message. And so the arise and shine, let the light shine. Hallelujah. But it is, folks, this is the time for the church to rise up and shine. You know, any day, any time, it doesn't matter. Pandemic, everything's going normal, whatever the case normal is, it's just important for the church. And I'm talking not the church building, but I'm talking about you out there. Individually, it's time for you to rise up and shine. Amen? Do you believe that? Rise up and shine. So we read that verse in Isaiah 60, verse 1. Now the scripture is in Isaiah, it is speaking prophetic promises of restoration to Israel at that time. And it's to bring it some hope in time of their captivity. You know, we all need hope during times of captivity. We all need hope when things aren't going the way we would like. We all need hope when things just don't seem to be advancing as fast as we would like or doing what we think is the right thing. And so we all need this hope. And we find back in Isaiah, they're speaking of this here. It's to bring hope in their time of captivity. The darkness of Jerusalem's broken walls and temple would be replaced with light and the brightness as God's glory rose upon the city. Hallelujah. How many out there today, you need God to rise where you're at? Amen. So we today need to hear this, and we need to proclaim it as well. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is on us. Look at yourself in the mirror if you'd want to, but think of that. The glory of the Lord is upon us. How special that is. Hallelujah. Let's look at that word glory. Nelson's dictionary for glory in that, it speaks of beauty, power, or honor. A quality of God's character that emphasizes His greatness and authority. It's not us. It's not us at all, is it? It's Him in our lives. It's Him shining in us, through us, and upon us. But look at that as we would read that. When we think about the glory, arise, shine, for the beauty of the Lord is upon us. The power of God is upon us. The honor, the quality of God's character, His greatness, His authority. Oh, folks, it's on us. Hallelujah. If that doesn't get you excited and wanting to praise the Lord, I don't know what would. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if we look at this in the Amplified, that verse of Isaiah, it says, arise, shine. Now, when it's talking about arise here, it says, arise from spiritual depression to a new life. And shine, be radiant with the glory and the brilliance of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory and the brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. Wow! Wow! Reading it in the Amplified just does so much to bringing out these key words. The key words of radiant, glory, the brilliance. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. That's upon us today. That's upon you, I believe, today. Amen? Do you believe that? So in the Amplified, when it says, arise from spiritual depression to a new life, we find ourselves, even those of the church, we can get ourselves into a spiritual depression. When we begin to look at things around us, the things that are outside of our control, things that come upon us, when we begin to look at the world around us and begin to focus more on the world than the things on God's kingdom, we could easily begin to become depressed and spiritually depressed. We begin to look and think, oh my goodness, how is this going to turn out? Oh, how is this going to turn out for good? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Again, it doesn't matter. We just happen to be during this virus thing. But it's any time in our life, no matter what is going on, that we sometimes allow more of the world to fixate upon us, and we fixate upon the world, and that before we know that, we're spending more time thinking and pondering the things of the world, that I do believe that we can get depressed in our spirit. Oh, hallelujah. We've got to shake off those bands, those heavy bands, amen. And we've got to praise the Lord. When you begin to get down, you need to praise. When you begin to get weak, you need to shout, amen. Hallelujah. So as we look at this, arise from spiritual depression to a new life, shine, be radiant with the glory and the brilliance of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory and the brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you today. Hallelujah. It's today. I'm receiving this for me today. That's the Amplified. Now, let's break open these words a little bit here. When it talks about radiant, radiant is, you know, you think of like radiant heat, okay? Radiant is things that come from a source and they just emit themselves out, you know? Radiant, we think of radio waves, you know? You got a tower and somebody is speaking and the message goes across the air in frequencies that we don't see or hear, but our instruments pick them up. So they radiant out, hallelujah. So radiant is like sending out light, shining or glowing brightly. Oh, hallelujah. That's what it's talking about there. Shine, be radiant with what? The glory and the brilliance of the Lord. Oh, people out there, when they come and see you, they don't even have to see you. I believe just by talking to you on the phone, just in a conversation, they will hear it in your tone. They will hear it in your voice, the promises that you have from your God, the peace that you have from your God, the encouragement, the calmness, the joy, whatever it is, they, I know and believe, will hear it even in your voice if they can't see you. Sending out that light, shining or glowing brightly. Now, we get into that area for your light has come and the glory. Here's that glory again. We've talked about it already, but it's that beauty, that power, our honor, a quality of God's character that emphasizes his greatness and authority. You know what? I know I'm speaking to the choir, but God has all authority. Amen? Nothing new under the sun. Nothing surprising God. And God has a plan for such a time as this. Amen? God has a plan for your life, for right now. God knows where you're at, and he's there with you, and he will see us all through this time in our lives. Hallelujah. And then we look at that brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. The brilliance, it's like an intense brightness of light. And you know, we need to understand the intensity. Intensity doesn't always necessarily equal to the size, okay? As far as a large light bulb, you know, may not be as bright as a smaller bulb with the dynamics within it, the components inside that little bulb that will still have the high intensity brightness of light. You know, we've seen that in years back where we used to have these larger lights and things, and as things developed and technology came about, my goodness, you look at these bulbs now, you can look at LED, light emitting diodes. That's a little bitty thing, a little chip in a bulb, but it can be brighter than a 100-watt bulb. And it only uses less wattages. It's crazy, you know, when we think of those things. You take a 100-watt bulb, get a LED that emits 100 watt as far as the brightness, and instead of 100 watts, it might be using, 2.0 watts or something like that. Something really crazy. So we got to look at it. It's not as big that's going to be the brilliance, but it's the intensity within you. Brilliance, intense brightness of light within us. Oh, hallelujah. We have to be that light in a darkened place. Amen. It talks about that in God's word, that the world, it's in darkness. They don't understand it. They don't realize it. But we're talking, they're in spiritual depravity. They're in a blackout, spiritually, of understanding of the things of God. Thank God for us that have been what? Enlightened by that of the Spirit of God as we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We began to be enlightened to the things of the Spirit and the things that are going on. And so, in reality, a child of God is steps far ahead of the child of the God of this world, of Satan. Because the Spirit will lead us, the Spirit will teach us, the Spirit will direct us, the Spirit of God will prepare us for things that we don't even know why we're being prepared, but somehow we're prepared, and when it happens, it's like, wow, thank you, Lord. Anybody been there? So that's looking at those words, radiant, glory, and brilliance. So in the Amplified, we see it as it says this, to arise from spiritual depression to new life. Okay? How many out there want this new life? Amen. Hallelujah. It's there. It's there for the asking. It's there for the taking, that new life. Freely come to Him, as we have already done. But that spiritual depression, we've got to be careful if we get into that, and we've got to reach out and ask for more of God. More of your glory, more of your power, more of your Spirit in me. Speak to my heart. Oh, manifest yourself in me. Yes, Lord, manifest yourself in us. When this happens, the world around us will take notice of the church. Now, you are the church. I'm talking to you out there, wherever you're at this morning, listening to this, you are the church. The world around us, they will notice things of you. Amen. Good things, I believe. Hallelujah. We need to outshine anything that comes around us that is of this world. You know, the things of this world, they have things, and they bombard us with stuff, and the things of this world has got its little things going on. But we need to always understand that we need to outshine anything that comes around us that is of this world. We have got to be fixated and just focused totally upon the things of the kingdom of God, no matter what time of day it is and where we're at. We have got to be listening and attentive by that of the Holy Spirit to the things taking place, to the things that are being told to us, to the things that are being shown to us. And we have to have a keen understanding of if it's man and a lot of man's things, it's got a lot of man's input in it. Amen. We got to be focused and fixated on that of God. Hallelujah. Arise and shine, church. Arise and shine. For the light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Hallelujah. In other areas in Isaiah, we would find this word where it says arise to say awake, awake. So much of the message for God in His church is to arise and to awake His church, so that we're ready, so that we're able, so that we're prepared, so that we know, so that we don't get taken to the cleaners, so to speak. Amen. So in Isaiah 51:17, just quickly, it says there, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem. You go back and go to Isaiah 52:1. Again, it says, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. So as we look at this, what do we take away from some of that? Well, I take away that it's saying, awake, awake, arise, shine. We are in such a time right now that we can outshine the light of this world. with the light from our Lord. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe right now where you're at? Do you believe the things that we're experiencing, the things that we're going through? Again, in anything just in generality of our life, prior to COVID, once we come out of COVID, this is going to still be a message that's going to preach, amen, that we need to arise and shine, for the Lord has come. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. But we need to outshine this world. And we can do it, amen. You believe that? I can hear you. I can hear you. Now, what are some ways to outshine this world? We can turn to the book of Romans and just touch upon a little bit of what Paul shares there. We find that in Romans, Paul emphasizes a high standard of moral conduct, especially due to the nearness of the return of the Lord. Now, we will read this and find this, that the Lord's return is nearer now than it was back then with Paul. Every day that we go, we're getting closer to the return of Christ. I have no idea knowing when, that hour, that day, the year, the month. But I do tell you this, we are nearer now than we were at the beginning of this year. So let us look at Romans 13:11. Romans 13:11, and it says this in the New King James. And the title ahead of this, is saying this, that putting on Christ, okay? We're finding that in Romans here, I'm going to quickly turn there, Romans 13. So why don't you get, I hope you got your Bible there. Do you have your Bible? I hope so. Start turning your pages. Let's go to Romans 13. And the caption at the beginning of Romans 13 talks about submitting to the government. You know, we do have a word from the Lord to submit to those of rulership over you unless they are telling you to do things that are contrary to God's words of things. But God's word does tell us to obey those in authority over us as long as they do not contradict the things of God. So as we look at this in Romans 13:11, putting on Christ. And it says this, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your salvation is nearer than when we first believed? Certainly we do. As we think about this, look at Amplified. The Amplified version of this says this, do this, knowing that this is a critical time. This is Paul writing back in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 11. It is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep, for our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed in Christ. Now, when we talk about this in the Amplified and even in the New King James, it says, wake out of the sleep. Here again, Paul is telling them, awaken from your slumber. It's talking about here even of spiritual complacency. We can become very complacent when we get used to things. The more you're used to something always happening, you become very complacent, and really you don't even notice it happening anymore. Why? Because you're complacent. We in the church today, we've got to pay attention that we don't become complacent to the things going on around us. It's kind of like the old adage of the boiling pot, or, you know, put a frog in a cold water pot and then put that pot on the stove and just turn the heat up little by little. And the frog, he won't jump out because he becomes very complacent because it's just getting warmer little by little by little. Oh, well, nothing different, nothing new. We've got to guard ourselves. I would encourage you today to guard yourself from becoming complacent, especially the things of the Spirit. Be looking. Be actively searching. Be actively listening and hearing and attentive again to these things of spirituality. But it is, do this knowing that this is a critical time. Paul is sharing that with the Romans. The book of Romans. Here we go. Okay. It is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep of spiritual complacency, for our salvation is nearer. So I'm saying this, church, we are here for a divine purpose. Don't miss out on what our God is doing in the times that we are living. Don't miss out. Be attentive, be looking, seeing what God is doing. See what God has arranged and how he is performing his miracles and how he is performing his work in this land, in this world. Amen? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We have had so many messages back starting in March when I was gone. And again, I was gone that week, and I haven't seen anybody since I got back here. We've been sheltered in and doing messages by way of the web, and I'm preaching to the sanctuary. Hallelujah, glory to God. But the Spirit is here. I believe it, and I feel him. But I would say this, church, arise for this divine purpose in our lives, for this time that we're here, for what's taking place now. This is the time for us to shine, to shine, to show your Heavenly Father what you're made of. Amen? To show yourself, really, what you're made of. The Father in heaven already knows what you're made of. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. But this is the time for us to kind of look at ourselves to see where I'm at in this thing of God. Where am I at in the trust that I have in my God? Where is it at that I believe and know that I'm in His will and that He's going to care for me? He's going to care for my family. But I'm going to trust Him in all of these things. As we continue on in Romans here, let us look here where it talks about in Romans 13, okay, chapter 13, and I'm going to read 12 to 14, and this is going to be the Amplified, and I will break it out as I'm reading it to kind of get just a full flavor of what the message here is. This is what just really begins to envelop here, what this is all about. Romans 13, 12 to 15 in the Amplified. The night, this present evil age, is almost gone, and the day of Christ's return is almost here. So let us fling away the works of darkness and put on the full armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly and honorably as the light of day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and irresponsibility, not in quarreling and jealousy, but, verse 14, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for, nor even think about gratifying the flesh in regard to its improper desires. Don't even consider the flesh. Hallelujah. Clothe yourself with that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Now we look at this. The night, this evil age that we're in, present. It's here. It's right here, right now. We get into, so let us fling away the works of darkness and put on the what? Full armor of light. This, when I read this just a little while ago in preparation to kind of cover this afternoon here so we can put it on the website Sunday morning, it reminded me again of Wayne and Terry's message, and Julie, as they were a part of that service, that Terry shared about putting on the full armor of God. And part of that was this. Remember when it was talking about in Ephesians, where it says in chapter 6, put on, chapter 6, 11, Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So as we begin to look at this and we put on the full armor of light, you know, this is tying in again. God has got this all orchestrated from the beginning to the end, from week to week to week. Because this message here, I can look back and see, oh, I remember when Terry talked about dressing Wayne into that armor, you know, and preparing for the battle. But darkness, we need to put on the full, everybody say full, don't put on just a little, put on full armor of light. Hallelujah. Let us conduct ourselves properly and honorably as in the light of day, not in carousing and drunkenness. It goes on, but that's how we look at preparing, or what we are to, as far as so we don't miss out on the things of what God has for us, and how we are living, and the examples that we're putting forth. We can look at it this way in the Christian Standard Bible, CSB, Romans 13, 12 to 14 says this: "The night is nearly over, the night is nearly over, and the day is near. So let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." Verse 13, "Let us walk with decency as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual impurity and promiscuity, not in quarreling and jealousy." But here it is: "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires." Oh, yes, yes, yes. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where we're at in our lives. We have got to make sure what we are dressed in, it's a change of clothes, hallelujah. We've got to put on Christ. We've got to wear these things. That we've got to be that example out there. Many times we have heard that we are the only Bible many will read. Also, as our actions dictate things out in the world, our comments, our conversations, what are people hearing from you when you're talking? You know, what are they picking up on? We've got to realize that we need to have Christ in us. We need to put him on, and we need to be consistently in that level of spiritual walk, not to shine, well, yes, it is to shine, but it's not to be haughty with it, but it's just to say there's a difference in me and you, and it's only because there's only one thing separating us. If you would just receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would all come together, amen. What I have, you have. You can have. Yeah, it's not just for a selected few. We've got to make sure that's our message going forth, that this light, this joy, this peace, this putting on of Christ, you can have it as well. Just receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you haven't already, you need to what? You need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In that Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Submitting to his lordship. What does that mean, you know, as we're submitting? Well, submitting to his lordship, accepting his moral standards, living in constant fellowship with him, and depending upon his strength. Those are all those things, and he wants us to do that. I know sometimes we feel like, well, I've got to do it myself. The world has put that in us to accomplish anything and to be anybody in this world. Do it yourself. Pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps. You are to take care of yourself and accomplish it for yourself. It's within you to do those things. But we've got to realize, when we begin to think of the kingdom concept of our lives, that it's a Jesus. It's we've got to put him on. We've got to have that fellowship with him. We want his moral standards. We want to submit to him as lordship in our lives. And that's an area that is hard for a lot of people. So we're talking church now, people in churches. It's hard for people to really say that Jesus is my Lord. Because if that's the case, you are no longer your own, are you? You're no longer your own. Jesus is your Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. But we need to submit to him. We need to accept his values, the moralities that he stands for. We need to live in fellowship with him all the time, not just certain days or not just on Sundays, but we need a constant fellowshipping with him, day in, day out. Amen. Remember those choruses we sang about, you know, arise, shine. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let all God's people praise the Lord. That's every day, folks. That's not just a Sunday thing. We think of that when we look at this, living in constant fellowship with him and depending upon, what does it say there, did I say? His strength. His strength. Amen. Now, quickly, just a sidebar here, okay? Thinking about his strength. Well, think quickly and go to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. It's talking here in the heading of verse 7, and the beginning of the thorn in the flesh. It says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." And then verse 8, "Concerning this thing I've pleaded with the Lord three times, that it might be departed from me." And this is what the Lord said to him. Verse 9. What does it say? Read it with me, okay? If you're there, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Okay, ready? Let's read it. "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." It's his strength in us. That's why when we're weak and we can't go on, he's got the strength for us. And right there, his grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weaknesses in us. And so that's what we want. I'm not praying to be weak, but I just know that when I am weak, there he is strong. And I'm going to tell you, there's many areas that I get weak in. And it could just be in generalities, or, one day I thought I was strong in it, or this week or this month, and all of a sudden something happens and it's like, oh my goodness. But I got to go back to him and say, Lord, I need your strength. How many out there need Lord's strength today? If you need Lord's strength, say, Lord, give me your strength right now. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now notice in the end of verse 14 there, that we were talking about, okay, in Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Notice at the end of verse 14, it says, "Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Well, I tell you what, you have got to stay on top of the flesh. You know what? This flesh, this body, this fleshly body, it'll tell you things and ask you to do. You'll just start. I don't know how everybody else is out there doing, but I tell you what, a lot of sheltering in and just some limitations and things and the weather the way it's been and whatnot, but it seems like we're going through a lot of food. We get done eating, sit around a little bit, it's time to eat again. The flesh, all of a sudden the stomach is saying, feed me, you're not doing anything else, It's like, get out of here, You got to beat that stomach down, amen. But it's like the flesh really has an easy way to control us. But we've got to pay attention to the flesh and make attention to the how it wants to satisfies itself. And we got to put it into submission a lot of times, folks. To help us stay out of our flesh, let's go to Galatians. Turn your Bibles. But in Galatians here, to help us stay out of our flesh, let's look at Galatians 5:16-25. Okay, let me read here. Make sure I got my notes here. Okay, Galatians 5:16-25. And it's titled here, Walking in the Spirit. Here again, that's how we're going to get through this. This is how you're going to get through this life, is by walking in the Spirit, His Spirit. To be led by His Spirit, to be strengthened, to be guided, to be taught by His Spirit. But let's begin to read in Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, there you go. What more do you need to know? It's simplified right there. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident. And these things here, you can go through. This is the working of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentiousness, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Those are all, what is the flesh? Well, there it is. Uh-huh. Those are the things in the flesh. Envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then we get into verse 22. But now, here it is. Listen, let's read along. But now, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, probably especially here in the times that we're in, there's been a lot of closeness. You know, there's a lot of people, families and kids and husbands and wives and dogs and cats and the house. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's full. And trying to find a place in the corner to find by yourself might be a little difficult. But I hope you're exemplifying or showing these areas of being, you know, kind and peaceful and self-control and gentle. Hallelujah. We need that for today. Amen. But let's kind of look at a few of these things here in regards to this in Galatians. And so we look at it in 5:16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we can find, and we've got to be very careful here, liberty can degenerate into a license to do things that we think is okay. But the Holy Spirit enables us to subdue the lust of the flesh when we continuously submit ourselves to His power and His control. You know, we've got to do that. We've got to submit yourselves to the Holy Spirit. We've got to be looking at these things to be able to control them. And I'm going to tell you, we have a hard time. The flesh, the man, the woman, flesh, it's hard. But if we can walk in the Spirit, amen, walk in the Spirit, how wonderful that would be. As we look at this, thinking of that, guidelines for the growth in the Spirit. It says here that the Holy Spirit is the key to living under God's grace. Only the indwelling Holy Spirit can fulfill the law through us as the life of Christ and truly frees us from the law. And as we look at this area in 5:16, where it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As we look at that, live under the Holy Spirit's control. My goodness, you can't go wrong, can you? If we live under His control, obey every leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, be so tuned into the Holy Spirit that when you hear the Spirit of God speak to you, you quickly hear it, you quickly understand it to be from that of God, and you do what? You obey it. And then know that this will defeat any fleshly or carnal inclination that you may have. Believe that this will result in Jesus' life being reproduced in you. And that's the thing, guys. We want Christ in us to live through us. We didn't just come to receive Christ just to have a warm, fuzzy, good feeling and to think like, well, I've got it made. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven. No, we want Christ to live in us. We want to be able to show Him to those around us so that they have an experience like we have. And maybe the only time that they will have that experience like we have is what they see us do or not do, what they hear us say or not say, what they hear us laugh at or not laugh at. And they will notice something different in that type of individual. And it should be that of Christ living in us, Christ inside us. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that people would see you in us and not us. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you? Do you believe it's all about Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And then over in verse 25, Galatians 5:25, I like this. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's read it together, okay? Are you there? Galatians 5:25. Okay, let's read it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, we can change that up. I walk in the Spirit, or I should say this, I live in the Spirit, I also walk in the Spirit. Personalize it. Make this so real to you personally, because that's what it's got to do. It's got to get into you personally, individually, that it gets into the depths of you, that it just lives out of you. Amen? Hallelujah. So, it says again, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And we find this Greek word here for walk is literally walk in line with. Okay? We have to walk in line with that as Spirit. It's not the same walk in verse 16. If you look at verse 16 where it says what? I say, walk in the Spirit and you shall not. It's walk, that is like just walk as you're daily about going about, okay? It's not that same walk. What we're finding here, it's literally walk in line with the Holy Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to walk along the path that He lays down. Remember that again. Let's say that again. To walk in the Spirit is to walk along the path that He lays down. Now, whose path are you on today, folks? What does your path look like? Have you veered from it? Have you gotten back over to your path and you left His path? Today, you can return back to His path. Amen? You know, today we can put on the Lord Jesus Christ again. We can repent of those things and say, Father, forgive me, and put my feet back on your path. Hallelujah. We can get to that point of what? Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Oh, yes. Today, that's what the message is all about. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. Awaken! Remember what the Amplified said that in Isaiah 60? Talks about arise from spiritual depression to a new life. We read it in, I think it was in Romans. And it talked about in Romans 13:11. And do this, and know that now is the time to awaken. Put on Christ and awaken out of sleep. Hallelujah. We've got to wake up. Church, wake up. Wake up. We don't know the times that are before us. We don't know even what tomorrow holds. My goodness, you know, we just look at it and listen to the news with even this pandemic and the things that are being said and not said and how it's changing. And I understand a lot of that because it's an area that we have not been before. It's an area that doctors and scientists, leadership of this nation, so many things in the puzzle, they've not been this way before. To understand how is it going to work, how are we going to get back, how is things going to be opened up, how shall we begin to bring life back into our communities. And we've got to be in prayer for that, folks. Pray for divine wisdom to those in authority, and let it not be man convoluting these things and desiring what they want. We've got to have some divine understanding of what's taking place, and we've got to get a lot of things back in place and back in order for this nation, for our city, for the world, okay? But we've got to pray for those things. Hallelujah. But we've got to be that example. We've got to be living it. We have to have that light arise and shine. Being walking in the Spirit, listening and hearing from that of the Spirit in our lives. Thank you, Father. So that was in Galatians. Remember what I said. To walk in the Spirit is to walk along the path that He has laid out for you. Amen. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, that we are on that path. That this church is on that path. That these people are on that path. And we're just going down that path, praising and shouting. Praising and shouting. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, as we're back in that area, let's go to Ephesians as we kind of wrap this up a little bit here and coming in for the ending here. Ephesians, we will read this again about the light. So go to Ephesians. Turn back to Ephesians. Go to chapter 5, Ephesians 5:8. It's talking about walk in light. Boy, I tell you. You know, it's not hard to see the light when there's so much darkness around, is there? It doesn't take much of the light of Christ to break through the darkness of this world. But remember, as we think about that back in the areas of the brilliance, you know, the Amplified talking about this, of arise from spiritual depression to a new life, shine, be radiant, okay? Radiant, send out that light, be glowing, be bright with the glory and the brilliance of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory, okay, God's character, his greatness, his honor, his power is upon you, and the brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you, the intensity of the light, the intense bright light of that of the Lord has risen upon you. Oh, my. There'll be people out there, you'll be walking out there, and they'll be putting, you know, sunglasses on. Some of you might be so bright and intense, they'll be putting those hoods on that they do for welding that's got, you know, the thick green lens that you can weld so you don't get blind. It's like, remember when they would always have like a solar eclipse, you know? I remember they couldn't look at the sun directly. It would burn your eyes out, you know, because the intense of that brightness and that light and the damage to your eye. And people would get those welding hoods. I know my dad, he had some, and he had some of the little, just the little lenses that would go in them. And you can take those things, and I'm, my goodness, they were just like, you look at them normally, and they're just like, you couldn't even see through them. They're like dark green, you know. But you hold it up to something that's really intense, and you can see that, but it would not hurt your eye. Father, as people would see us, Lord, let them see the brightness of you in our lives. Oh, Father, that's what we want. Not for our glory, not for us. Not for people to say, oh, wow, you're this or you're that. It's to say, oh, your God is so good. My goodness. So anyway, let's get over here again. The Ephesians 5:14 and see what it's saying here. I'm going to begin. Let's go in Ephesians 5:8, and I'm just going to begin to read. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as what? Children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose them. You know, to reprove them. It in verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Verse 13, but all things that are exposed are made manifested by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. And verse 14, therefore he says this, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christ will give you light. Truly, truly, he will. Verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Or it should say, you could say it this way. So then, that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are what? Evil. We've already talked about that, evil. Okay? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. What a great place to close out there. So we find that in Ephesians 5:8, that we were once in darkness, but now we are light. It says this in the New King James. I just read that, okay? In the New Living, it says, for once you were full of darkness. Or you remember when you were full of darkness? Yuck. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. My encouragement for you today is to do just that, okay? To live as people of light. You are light. You are the light. Hallelujah. The light of Christ in you, shining brightly right there where you're at. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you. We glorify you in all of these things. So as I close, remember the song, Arise, Shine, for the Light has come. Arise, Shine, for the Light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Upon thee. And the other one was this, what? Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands. And let all God's people praise the Lord. So right there today, I hope you're able to do that. I hope you're able to praise the Lord. Right there where you're sitting. Right there in the kitchen, in the living room, wherever it might be. We thank you for listening. We thank you for tuning in, going to the website. That sounds like I got a radio station. I don't think we got that. We got the website, so you're listening to that. But remember this. Let me just read it in closing. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Well, I do thank you again. Thank you for coming and listening, and I pray you got something out of this today. You're a wonderful people. You're blessed. We continue to keep you and your families in our prayers for health, for strength, for your provisions to take care of your physical needs, your material things as far as the bills and food and whatnot, that God is continuing to be the provider. And so I thank you, and I just encourage you to keep going. We're going to be back one of these weeks, and it'll be so good to see each and every one. Let us close in prayer. Oh, Father God, what a great time it has been with you today. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the encouragement that I received from just reading your word, Lord, and seeing how it ministers into my life. I pray, Lord, that we do have that light of you shining brightly in us, that, Lord, we are an example to those around us of your glory shining bright. I thank you, Father, that you are there with us. Now, Lord, as we go, I pray for this week ahead, that every need is met, that, Father, that strength and health prevails in every one of the members' bodies of Harvesters Church, and even to those that may come across this on a website, Lord, that they too, as they listen, Lord, they would be encouraged, they would be blessed, that you would keep them strong and healthy through this time of the virus. We pray for guidance and wisdom to those in our leadership. Pray for this nation, Lord, in so many areas. We pray for the doctors, the staff in the medical field, the scientists, to come up with whatever a vaccine or a immunization for this virus. We pray, Lord, for the economy of our nation, Lord. Lord, everything is so tied together and so many people are struggling, the farmers and different ones in manufacturing, Lord. And so we do come to you, and this is a very, very serious time in our land. But it's a time that, Lord, you will show up. And I believe that you have a plan, and that, Father, you are doing phenomenal things. You are doing great things around this country. I thank you, and I praise you for it now. I pray that we will hear more of good things coming forth from different areas of our nation, of how things are developing in towns and communities, and how the spread of the virus begins to subside and people that have been affected by it will become strong. We pray for those, Lord, that have lost family members and loved ones to the virus, Lord. It's a very sad and very hurtful and sorrowful time, Father. And so, Lord, we do lift up those families right now that have experienced this loss. Bring comfort and bring peace and strength to them, Father. Oh, we just lift up all of these things to you, Lord. And we do claim you to be our God. And you are our God. And we love you. And we want to live and be all that we can to show those around us your example. So we do thank you, Father. And each and every day, Lord, we will arise and shine. For your glory is upon us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Have a wonderful week. Talk to you soon.